Dear participants, thank you for standing by, and welcome to DSM's conference call. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To register for questions, you may dial star one at any time. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Mrs. Lieke de Jong. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and welcome to this conference call on DSM's Q1 2020 results, which we published earlier this morning. On the call, we have both Geraldine Matchett and Dimitri de Vreeze, co-CEOs of DSM. Dimitri will go through our performance this time, and then both Dimitri and Geraldine are available to answer your questions. We have 30 minutes this morning, so until 8:30. As a reminder, today's presentation can contain forward-looking statements, and in that regard, I would like to point you to our disclaimer regarding forward-looking statements as published on our website and in our press releases. I'd now like to hand over the call to Dimitri. Dimitri, please go ahead.
Thank you, Lieke. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Geraldine and myself, welcome to this call on DSM's first 3 months of 2020. Before I start, I just want to say I hope you and everyone close to you is healthy and well, wherever you are calling in from today. Back in mid-February, on our full year results 2019, you may remember that our outlook statement said, with regard to any potential impact of the coronavirus, DSM will monitor the situation closely. Well, much has happened since then, impacting all of our lives and the way business can operate. For our part at DSM, we had already taken very early actions thanks to and learning from our 5,000 colleagues in China. They helped us very early on to recognize the seriousness of the situation. This enabled us to adapt swiftly and continue serving our customers while maintaining our focus on the health and safety of our people and our partners. Much of what we do is classed as vital by national governments around the world. So I have to say that we are extremely proud of how our people have worked through significant challenges to keep all our operations running. For example, we switched in just one weekend around 9,000 staff to remote working, benefiting from our great IT infrastructure. And at the same time, many of our people are finding ways to support their communities as well. DSM is living up our mantra of doing something meaningful. And as you have seen this morning, we just announced that we're helping to accelerate Dutch corona testing by making 2.8 million nose swabs. This will meet the entire country testing needs for the next 3 months. We are donating the 11 tons of material which are required to make the swabs, as well as our local material processing expertise to help the country in fighting against corona. This is just one example, and we're very proud that our teams around the globe are applying the scientific know-how to help ease the impact of corona. And there are many other examples. For example, we re-engineered a production line in Waalwijk in the Netherlands to produce an initial 130,000 liters of disinfectants. This was donated to healthcare institutes across the country. We have given hand sanitizers made in DSM facilities to nearby hospitals in Switzerland and North America too. We're also donating self-produced immunity-optimizing vitamins and probiotics, plus reserves of personal protective equipment to healthcare workers and local communities across Asia, Europe, Latin, and North America. Let's turn to our financial highlights, because despite this very unusual context, we reported a solid first quarter with both stable sales and adjusted EBITDA. Furthermore, our net profit on an adjusted basis, after stripping out some restructuring one-offs, was up 8%, and our adjusted net operating free cash flow was up 152%. If we look more specifically at the performance of our nutrition and materials businesses, let me start with nutrition. Nutrition delivered a good performance, with sales up 4% and the adjusted EBITDA up 3%, driven by a strong performance from animal nutrition. As lockdowns forced people to cook at home more, we saw a rapid shift from food services to home eating and an increase in demand for easy-to-prepare proteins, such as poultry and eggs. Overall, across our nutrition business, we estimate 1% net increase in sales as a result of changes in global consumer behavior. Materials also had a solid start of the year, but closed the quarter with volumes down 6% compared to the prior year and adjusted EBITDA down 7%. Demand deteriorated rapidly at the end of the quarter as government's containment measures affected our customers' operations, especially in the automotive sector, in Europe and North America. We estimate the COVID impact on our sales to be about negative 7%. Taken together, that means stable sales and adjusted EBITDA for the company, which is in line with our analyst consensus. Of course, we continue to benefit from a strong balance sheet, and combined with our quick and decisive actions, as well as our strong and growing nutrition business, we feel well positioned to navigate these near-term developments. We've seen these conditions continue into quarter two. We still expect nutrition to deliver at least a mid-single-digit increase in adjusted EBITDA for 2020, but given the current limited visibility in materials, it feels prudent not to express an overall earnings outlook, like so many other companies did at this time. While we are taking necessary short-term measures, we remain focused on our long-term strategy to deliver above-market growth, pursuing our innovation programs and growth initiatives. Our science-based, purpose-led approach remains unchanged. That's why, despite much of our focus today being on COVID-19, I'm also pleased we recently signed a new power purchasing agreement in Europe and in North America, where we are firmly on course to achieve our target of 75% of our purchase of electricity to come from renewable sources. We've also added our voice to the Green Recovery Alliance, a pan-European call for any post-corona economic stimulus to put climate change and biodiversity loss at its heart. With the spread of corona, we're seeing the impact of a sudden shock to our way of living, and we must not make the mistake of trying to replicate the unsustainable world we had before. And with that, I would like to open the floor for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are starting the question and answer session now. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phone. For questions, star 1. Go ahead, please. First question is from Ms. Ellen Proper from Bloomberg. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, all. I have a question about the no swabs, because the release says DSM will produce sufficient swabs to meet the entire country's testing needs for the coming 3 months. And so are we then talking about the 2.8 million no swabs also mentioned in the release? Is that what is needed in the coming 3 months? And then also on the timing, like how fast will it be produced? How many will be produced weekly? And when did the manufacturing start? And when is DSM delivering the first no swabs?
Okay. All right. Yeah, thanks for the question. A lot of sub-questions into it. So if I forget, then correct me at the end. So indeed, the 2.8 million no swabs are for a 3 months requirement. So that is needed for 3 months. And this is no swab testing. I don't know if you ever did no swab testing yourself. It is critical that these no swabs are well designed, because it goes into your nose. It also needs to be sterile. So you've seen that we've not done it on our own. We've done that with partners. Because if we would do everything on our own, this would take months. And as we've seen, if we partner with our partners, we could develop these nose swabs within 2 to 3 weeks, from design to a test to production. We currently are establishing production. We're scaling it up. So this is not a matter of months, it's a matter of weeks. We've got an order from the ministry till the end of July. So we're really ramping up production to make the 2.8 million no swabs ASAP. Did I miss any of your sub-questions?
Sir, this is the operator. We just lost the connection with Ms. Proper. She's just dialing in. So she will be back. In the meantime, if there's anyone with more questions, please press star 1. Okay, she's not back yet. I have Mr. Toby Sterling from Reuters. Go ahead, please.
I think I'll just, I hope Ellen gets back on, but I'll follow up on her question. Could you just kind of say how much did it cost to get this going? And I think she asked about the rate at which they would be produced. That would be interesting to know. And I assume that this is, you know, not necessarily a for-profit thing, but you need to have some way to make sure that it happens efficiently. So how does that work?
Yeah, so I mean, let me state up front that we are donating the material which is needed to make the nose swabs. So it's about 11 tons of materials which we have in our production. We will donate that to make the nose swabs. So in that sense, we're not making any money of it. It is because we feel as a company, if you have the capability to help out during a crisis as COVID-19, that you also need to take the responsibility to do so. And we've done that with the nose swabs, we've done that with the face masks, and we've done that with hand sanitizers, as well as donating vitamins and immunity-optimizing ingredients. Coming back to the nose swabs, production is being ramped up. So we basically need to produce around 1 million a month, because till the end of July, 2.8 million nose swabs are needed. So this is really ramped up. The fact that we could do it quickly is that we first did the design and then did the 3D printing part. Then we got the approval. If you then produce higher volumes of nose swabs, then obviously 3D printing is too slow. So we 3D printed the molding, which is a normal process in engineered materials, and then you use the injection molding to really ramp up scale. And that's what we've done here. So from 3D printing design into injection molding for high volumes. Basically, it's a process which is used in automotive quite a bit. And there we also added our material expertise.
Okay, and so when are they actually going to be in let's say, people's the hands of, doctors and testing centers?
So basically, we supply via the Landelijk Consortium Hulpmiddelen, so LCH, they will allocate that, and this will be done in a couple of weeks. So the first material will be delivered in a couple of weeks.
And just out of curiosity, did you run into any old friends in the Dutch government while you were working on this?
Help me with your question.
I'm just wondering if Mr. Sybesma was, this level of involvement here.
Okay. Well, I mean, let's be frank. I mean, put Mr. Sybesma aside, the minister reached out to DSM if we could help with our material expertise in these unprecedented times. And we've done that on hand sanitizers, we've done that on face masks, and we will do it again on nose swabs where we can add value. I mean, if the Prime Minister or the Minister of Health would call you and say, hey, you have such great capability, are you willing to help out? Then there's only one answer possible, is it? So, and we said definitely a firm yes.
Okay, well, I don't have any more questions. I don't know if Alan is back on.
Yes, she is, but she has to press star one again. So I will continue with Mr. Andrew Noll from Bloomberg. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi. I ought to give the mic back to Ellen if she's there. I can go after
yes.
her.
Okay. If you then press dial star one again after Ms. Proper, then I will connect you. One moment, please. Ms. Ellen Proper, you can ask your question. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Yes, thank you. So I missed the answers to my questions. I heard a bit about that there is 2.8 million needed in nose swabs tests at the end of July, and DSM will be delivering the first in a couple of weeks. And then, that's kind of what I got now. And it would be produced at a rate of like 1 million a month. So when did the manufacturing process start?
Sorry, I couldn't hear you on the last part.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a bit like on timing. Like, is the manufacturing process already started? Because I heard.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So 2.8 million is needed till the end of July. That covers the no swap demand of the ministry. We will ramp up production in the coming weeks, and we need at least to deliver 1 million a month. Otherwise, we don't make the 2.8. We already have delivered this week smaller volumes, so we are in the scale-up phase. But we're very confident that we can ramp it up. I just explained a little bit when I think you were off that we started with 3D printed swaps just to test and how it works. But 3D printing, in terms of if you want to produce millions, you need to move from 3D printing to injection molding, which is a technique which is frequently used in the automotive industry. We've done that. So we will injection mold these millions of swaps. So we are in the midst of that scaling up.
Okay, and the Netherlands was really forced to tackle this testing issue as it tries to ease the lockdown. So is the problem solved with the NoSwap DSM is going to offer? Because I imagine you could ramp up further after July, with like you could produce beyond the 2.8 million afterwards.
Well, the 2.8 million NoSwaps are 100% of the needs for the Ministry of Health. So there's no need to make more. That's 100% of what they need. What is also being discussed is whether you need throat swaps. So that could be an extension. And we've only got the request to make these till the end of July. So we're not aware that there will be an extension. Could be, but let's first get these 2.8 million nose swaps out. By the way, to your point, on scaling up, we already delivered a few batches this week, right? So it's not that we went out with the press release without having it produced. So this is pretty normal process. If you have the injection molding done, you can just scale up pretty easily.
Okay, and I'm aware there are different ways to test the corona symptoms, and the throat swabs are then an additional one, but I also think something with blood tests, or is this sufficient for the Dutch needs, the nose swabs and maybe later the throat swabs?
I mean, you need the nose swabs to do the testing, because otherwise you can't get material from humans. So this is one of the elements in the whole chain of testing, right? But if you don't have nose swabs, you don't get material to test. So it's an important element in beefing up the testing capacity.
Okay, thank you.
And if you wish to have more information on the needs and the developments, etc., then we could also bring you into contact with the ministry, because this is something where we are in close contact with the Dutch Ministry of Health, with the LCH, and obviously with our partners.
Okay, thank you very much. If I can ask just a question on a different note, it's about some investor pressure we wrote about some time ago, and I was wondering how it's going, whether you could give a bit of details on that. It's about to exit the 3.4 billion plastics and materials division, and I was wondering if you still receive, if you're still in talks, or whether you ever started to be in talks with Ocean Route on these requests.
Leave that to my co-CEO.
Yeah, thanks, Dimitri. Good morning, Geraldine here. Well, this one is a very straightforward one because we talked to all of our shareholders and stakeholders. This was one out of many. And we continue to do as we were intending to. So there's nothing there's really nothing much to be said here.
Okay, thank you.
Next question is from Mr. Andrew Noll from Bloomberg. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi. Yeah, good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking the questions. I think I've got three. I can limit it to three. The first one is on the second quarter sort of so far. And you obviously did you know, you reported some good levels in nutrition, but I'm wondering, was there, do you feel like there was an element of restocking, or not panic buying, but restocking among your customers to sort of secure their supply chains? And as you, as we've gone into the second quarter, is the situation, it's obviously declining in materials, but is it a little bit better than you might have expected? And is this, again, restocking, or is it maybe other factors? That's the first question. The second question is probably, I realize it's not a, you know, perhaps the priority for you right now, but on some, is it's about M&A. Some companies, including Huntsman and Clarion, they've commented that there's a big spread in the bid and ask in terms of what sellers want for their assets and what people are prepared to pay. So I wondered what your perspective on the situation is, as you, I think you're continuing your search. So do you recognize that widening spread between buyer and sellers? And the third one is on China. I wanted to ask, are you sort of reducing, or is there any potential for you to reduce your dependency on China raw materials? I mean, is that a factor within DSM? Are you looking to more European raw material suppliers, you know, and phasing out some Chinese just for security of supply and all the other reasons, given everything that's going on? Thanks.
Okay. Geraldine, you want to do restocking?
Happy to give it a go. So this is, of course, there's many different moving parts this quarter. So, Andrew, let me, you know, give an answer, and then if it's not what you were going, you know, looking for, let us know. So what we have indicated is that in the quarter we saw overall a positive momentum in nutrition, and also a net positive effect of about 1% on sales related to the COVID outbreak. Now, in there, there are a couple of factors. One is our animal nutrition business, which, by the way, grew 12% in the quarter. If I break down this 12%, we expect, or we estimate, the COVID impact to be about 4-5%. We also see a slow recovery from the African swine fever, which you may remember was a very strong headwind in the last 4-5 quarters. We're seeing a bit of a rebuilding of the swine population. That's about 1%. And then the general good business conditions that we're seeing in animal nutrition is about 6%. So what we indicated in terms of, to refer to your restocking, so the 4-5% related to the COVID effect in animal nutrition has an element of people effectively buying because they don't want to be short. So be it the feed mill, the feed producers, but also the animal, you know, some of the bigger meat producers have bought ahead. And that's the silo loading, as we can also refer to, that we have seen. Now, what we see going into the second quarter is that we expect the business conditions to remain strong across the board. We also, by the way, see a bit of a shift in consumption with a move towards an increase in poultry and in eggs, which are easier to prepare at home, which, by the way, is a strength for us because we have a very strong position when it comes to poultry. So what we expect is very good business conditions to continue in Q2. Now, when we look at the second half of the year, because you were hinting to, can this at some point reverse, we would expect that maybe in Q2 we will see a bit of the reverse effect. But I have to say that we will see at the same time a continued positive momentum from the African swine fever recovery in China and Asia, which we always said would be a structural positive for DSM, not only because there will be more animals to feed as the swine population gets up again, but also this is happening in the professional farming community, which is where we have a very strong presence and a very good offering in terms of our solution for animal nutrition. So I would say that is clearly for an animal nutrition perspective. Now, in the human nutrition space, it's unfortunately quite complicated in the sense that you have different momentums. Let me start with dietary supplements. What we see here is there is clearly a very strong demand for everything to do with immune-enhancing dietary supplements. And although there has been an acceleration, we don't see here a stocking effect. We just see here an acknowledgement of the importance of good nutrition to stay healthy. So that will continue, and we saw an acceleration of that in Q1, and we expect to see that remain strong. Now, we also have our food and beverage activities. Now, this is the pantry loading part. So as you know, in many countries, households went and stocked up on food to be consumed at home and prepared at home. And so there is a bit of an acceleration that we saw there in the first quarter, although I have to say that it was primarily our customers who saw this, and we will be seeing the momentum from that as they refill their inventory. So that is taking us into the second quarter. We see the same with early life nutrition, so infant formula, where clearly our customers saw also an acceleration, but we will be seeing and feeling it more in the second quarter. Now, when it comes to what happens after that, we don't believe that there is as clearly a sort of a stocking, destocking, because, you know, households don't have those types of dynamics. So we expect that we will see more of a normalization when it comes to human nutrition and probably, I don't know, in Q3, Q4, we'll have to see how it goes. And under all of this, you have differences in consumption. So, you know, clearly there is, you know, more. We had a strong quarter in baking. We had a strong quarter in savory, in dairy. And these are all the kind of categories that are consumed by the household. And we saw on the flip side, you know, a bit of a lower consumption around some of the beverages like beer, where it's much more linked to the food services, so eating out of home. So I hope that this gives you a bit of a feeling for all the different moving parts that we saw in nutrition. Net-net, it's a estimated +1 on sales in the first quarter, but with a strong momentum and order book going into Q2.
Mm. Okay. I know time is really short, but could you give me one line on the materials, you know, in automotive, if people are restocking or, what did you say, silo loading? Just one quick sentence, because I know it's short on time.
Mitri, do you want to take that?
Yeah, basically on materials, Andy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, materials, obviously, you see the reverse effect. We had a solid start of the year in quarter one, but we saw mid-March our automotive customers stopping their production, which we saw that it has quite an impact towards the end of quarter one, and we've seen that continued for April. We don't expect any recovery in May, and as of May, June, in going into the whole year, there's no visibility whatsoever. So it's also one of the reasons why we said, hey, we have no visibility on materials, but definitely there is no restocking ongoing. Some of our automotive customers have restarted, but more to get their plant running at very low utilization rates than anything else. So there's low visibility at this time.
Great.
Yep.
As we are really running late with the call, I would like to move to closing, or I don't know if there's a very short answer to one of the questions, but otherwise we would need to close.
Yeah, let me try to give it. I'm not respecting the questions itself, Andy, but M&A, I mean, we're not looking at distressed assets. We're looking at M&A, which fits our strategy. So we don't see that widespread valuation. And thirdly, very quickly, China, raw materials. We are present almost in every continent, and we source and produce and sell. So our dependency on flows across the continent is relatively limited. So no, we're not changing our approach there because we already anticipated in the past on that. So that is a quickie.
Many thanks, Dimitri. Hope that helped you as well, Andrew.
Yeah, thank you.
Great. Geraldine, would you care to make some closing remarks?
Yeah, very briefly. So firstly, let me first reiterate what Dimitri said in his opening statements, in the sense that we're very, very thankful to the way that our colleagues have coped with the situation. And I'm extremely proud, actually. And that is translated not only in our results, but in the fact that everybody is pretty much healthy, which is fantastic. We remain well-positioned to manage ourselves into the near term with our growing nutrition business, but also with a strong financial position. So we feel well-positioned. And when it comes to, you know, the mega trends that underline our long-term growth, what we see is that the crisis around Corona has actually sharpened people's perceptions and understanding of the importance of healthy nutrition, of sustainable living, and of actually taking care of our planet, because issues can be global, and that includes sustainability. So while we're taking all the necessary measures in the short term, we will continue to remain focused on our long-term growth, growing above market, driving our innovation, and maintaining, of course, a very close eye on our operational excellence going forward. And in that, I would like to thank you all, and I hand back to you, Lieke. Lieke, are you still there?
Oh, sorry. Thank you, Geraldine. Thank you, Dimitri. Thank you all, and have a good day. Stay healthy and safe. And with that, I now hand the call over to the operator.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's DSM conference call. You may now disconnect your line and have a very nice day.